This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Reason I say Johnny Cash, he was alive then. Alan, you had an encounter with a man in black?
Well, in the colloquial sense of man in black, here's the story, and I don't believe it was on the trip that you and I in Geneva took. I think it was when I was there with Jim Moslet. We did a series of interviews. We interviewed Lael again, and then we interviewed another guy who had had close encounters with whatever the Brown Mountain Lights are and thought that they were intelligent beings or things, but had not had the kind of contact experience that Lael had or claimed or whatever. And we went, it was Christmas Eve, 1960, when was Apollo 8, the one that circled the moon but didn't land? Come on, Randall, you got to know this. You're the nuts and bolts junkie.
No, I don't have an eidetic memory. I'm not really great at trivia. So I remember watching the Apollo.
December 31st, 1968, I believe, but the year may be wrong. In any case, it was during that, roughly that period, late 60s. So that evening, while they were circling the moon on a cold and snowy and ice-filled night on a narrow road, we ascended to the highest point, not the official point to view the Brown Mountain Lights, but a point far above that. Fearlessly, Jim and Tim and me and Jim's, at that time, little daughter, who I thought, this is a hell of a way for a kid to spend Christmas Eve. And we were able to see the lights and what they mean or what they are. I can't tell you. It was less impressive than a lot of things. The thing that's impressive about the Brown Mountain Lights is you can go anytime, especially to this upper viewing spot, which is on one of the oldest mountains in America, just short of Grandfather Mountain, which you can see from there, which apparently is the oldest mountain in the Americas. And considering that the Appalachian chain is the older chain of mountains here, that makes it quite antique, even though the world has only existed for 6,000 years. It says so in the... Actually, it doesn't say anything about that in the Bible.
Yeah, right. Just to confirm here, yeah, Apollo 8 here, 1968, launched in December 21st, 1968.
Okay. So after we sat there for a couple of hours in the freezing cold, Jim guides the car down this narrow thing. On one side is a precipice, and on the other side, I don't know, because I was sitting on that side of the car, and the road was icy, and I thought, this is a hell of a way to die. I'm too young to die. I'm too young to die. But funny, I say that even now. So I thought, well, it will be for truth. Nevertheless, we made it down the mountain, and we went into Jim Beckley's room, and I will never forget this. The TV was on, and Beckley got preoccupied with a phone call to his mother explaining how the warm states had cold months. And on the TV, I see the Earth coming around the horizon, and the astronauts are reading from the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was unformed. And I thought, oh God, they're marooned in space and they're praying. Turned out that that was just the, like I said, the military always has in mind its PR program. And that was, they may have been perfectly sincere, the astronauts themselves, but I'm sure that was pre-programmed that they would, on Christmas Eve, do something, and they did Genesis 1 rather well, actually. But it turned out there was no crisis. They made it back just fine. And at some point there, I went to my room and went to sleep. I was awakened the next day. And this is the part that is most of interest to me is that, and I'm going to say this in advance of anything that was said, it never occurred to me during the course of this to get this gentleman who was at the door's name or how he knew where my room was or how he knew I was even in town. It just didn't occur to me, as if my mind had been manipulated. I opened the door, and there is a well-dressed gentleman in a dark outfit. I mean, I would not call him the classical man in black. He sort of introduced himself, but didn't explain how he knew I was there, nor did I ask him, although that should have been before I even let him in the door. I should say, should have said, how did you know that I'm here, and how do you know my name, and what is, you know. So I let him come in, and we sat down at the little table in the motel room, and he proceeds to tell me a story dumping on Ralph Lael. He's saying, oh, well, you know, I don't mean to. No, he didn't have an accent, actually. He had no accent at all, just, you know, mid-American standard. I'm not done.
Yeah, okay, so you guys are sitting at the table. He just shows up at your door unexpectedly, comes in, and then starts to explain what again?
The Ralph Lael case is an interesting case. He was there, apparently, to tell me Ralph Lael is an unreliable, dangerous person who is a moonshiner. You know what a moonshiner is? And okay. And therefore his story isn't true, which is not necessarily, you know, one doesn't follow from the other. But the weirdest part of it, I mean, you could say, well, this was a man in black giving me disinformation on a good case. Or you could say, forget about that. How the hell does this person know that I am in town, that I've interviewed Ralph Lael, who lived halfway up the mountain and was a relatively obscure person, that I was staying at this motel, that I was in this room, and that my name was Alan Greenfield? Which,
very interesting. Yes, that would be a little bit unnerving for me if something like that were to happen. And I mean, it's not like you were at home or something where people, okay, we know where you live and we can go there. You can be looked up. You got a phone. I mean, they had to be literally keeping tabs on you somehow, whoever they are.
Exactly. And the weirder part of it for me, and this may just be for me, but you tell me whether it's weirder. I didn't ask him anything. I didn't say, who are you, and what occasioned your coming here, and how do you know that I'm here, and how do you know who I am, and how do you know who I've interviewed? I asked no questions. I was just polite, Southern polite, listened, must have said a few inconsequential things, did not disagree with him, but, you know, in my head I'm going, yeah, well, this doesn't sound I don't give a damn if he's a moonshiner. That's
right.
Every third person and their cousin in the mountains is likely at one point or another, over a certain age, to have at one time or another been making illegal hooch. So what? I never asked him anything of substance, and yet I was at that time 8 years in ufology.
Right, you'd think you would know. I mean, that is sort of typical of the MIB experience, though, isn't it? Where it, or even a UFO experience. We've heard, I had my camera with me, but I was so enthralled by what I was seeing, or that I just didn't think to take the picture.
I wasn't enthralled. I was.
Or put into another state or something. Who knows?
The other time in my life that I've had something like that happen was a former, now deceased, high-end Scientology person.
Well, that's certainly going to open up some discussions for another time. All right, We got a break here. We got more to come with Gene Randall and Alan. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, as I said, with Alan Greenfield, you can kind of sort of be a fly on the wall. Never know. You know, I have to fish out the interview I did with Ralph Lael. That goes back to the late 60s.
Sure does. I don't remember anything that you asked him, but I wouldn't, because when somebody's recording the experience, I sort of don't take notes. if I'm recording it especially, I don't take notes, but I just, you know, I assume that it would appear in your magazine of the time. I think it was early 70s, wasn't it? I mean, Caveat Emptor was already...
This happened last time with Gene, too. And you and I got talking about stuff, and then Gene came back on.
Let me go into investigator mode. Does this happen with other guests?
We did have one, Bryce Zabel, who we couldn't get all three of us connected. We could get any two of us connected, but we couldn't get all three of us connected. And last time you were on the show, this same thing happened with Gene. He seemed to drift off, and then he just came right back. And I'm not really sure what's going on there, but...
Well, old people do drift off at times, but I think you mean something else. In all seriousness, though, the problem you mentioned, is obviously that was an isolated quirk, but two times with me, a year or more apart, that's interesting.
Okay, let's just hang on a second here, Alan, while I try to get in touch with Gene on the text side of things here.
I'll hang on more than a second.
And then we've got some questions in our question bank, too, that we've got to ask you.
Okay. It's aliens, I'm sure.
I'm not an alien. There is nothing wrong with your television set. We are controlling transmission.
Gene, did you catch all of that we were just talking about there?
Pretty much, yes. I know we're having
some
weird problems that listeners will not hear.
Alan asked you a question, and you just weren't. You were just gone.
I think while we had the connection problems, Alan was asking when I started and ran Caveat Emptor. I believe we started that around 1971 or so.
Yeah.
Went on to 1975. And then it was resurrected in the late 1980s for another few issues.
Well, there's a... this had to be early 70s then that we were there, because I have, in those days, they stamped things at the photo developing place, and I have a picture of you in Geneva that I took that is stamped, and I believe it's, I'd have to find it, dig it up. I did scan it some time ago, and that's circa 1971, although I wouldn't swear by it.
Consider yourself lucky. I do not cast a reflection. That's why there are so few pictures of me online. In fact, some of the ones I've seen are photoshopped.
I don't know what to say to that, Gene. That's very Gene Steinberg.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, I finally got Alan Greenfield to stop. I made him silent. I've been trying to do this for 55 years.
57, but who's counting?
Well, it feels like 57 years.
You know, there's an echo effect here. We could say we did this interview in a cavern.
Was that the only time that you've had any interaction with a mysterious figure like an MIB or something like that? I know when you mentioned Tim, I'm assuming you're talking about Tim Beckley, of course, and he's written a couple of books, I think, on MIB.
Well, he saw a man in black, he and Jim Moseley, outside of apparently Jack and Mary Robinson, who were key players in the New York, New Jersey ufology scene.
I have seen that photo, folks, but I'm just not impressed.
Well, you don't have to be impressed. The impression isn't the photo. The impression is... this guy was shadowing Jack and Mary until Jim went around the block, and the guy saw that they were circling the block and taking a picture of him, and he was gone after having been there for days on end. So, you know, make of it what you will. It's not like a major case, but it is also an authentic photo. I mean, I don't think that it... Jim was certainly not adverse to doing spooky things that were trickster things, but I don't think this was a trickster episode. I think it was Jack and Mary who reported it first, and they just you know, came to see if there really was something going on there. And like I said, the guy disappeared after that. I had one other experience to answer the question that was, I've heard various things about it, that at the 1968 National UFO Conference, which I guess was around the June 24th weekend, and right in the heart of the Mothman area, it was in Charleston, West Virginia, a dry town at the time. All during the convention, there was this guy dressed in black with shades, you know, your classical thing, but very, very young, I would say 20-ish, 21-ish, just a guess. I'm not real good at age guessing. And, you know, he did have shades on and blah, 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 blah. And a hat as well, of course. There are no men in black that don't have a hat. They're all hat men. Which is a lot more noticeable during that period than it would have been earlier. And I think the last day of the convention, he followed us to a restaurant. We had about 10 or 12 ufologists who had been at the convention sitting around a table in this restaurant right across the street from the hotel where the convention was being held. And the man in black showed up and just stood behind us. So I decided, oh, what the hell? So I jumped out of my chair, knocking the chair over and breaking it, by the way, and ran up to this guy who made a hasty retreat out the door of that we came in, the entrance to the restaurant. And I got in front of him. I had a camera in my hand because I was, in those days, I was taking pictures of, I did candid pictures of the convention, black and white pictures, so they were high ASA. I mean, not to get too technical, but they were, I didn't want to flash, so I had ASA 400 film, I think, Tri-X, I think it was called, back in the day.
I used to use that myself. I remember that. I even developed photos, black and white photos. But remember, that's a totally different world. This is a world where each picture cost money because you had to buy the film. You had to develop the film if you didn't do it yourself, like I did in my bedroom when I was young, freaking out my parents because of the odor from some of the chemicals. But you see what it did to me, folks. Don't answer
yeah,
that.
You inhaled it.
Okay, so
well,
you got,
I didn't
you
smoke and inhale. We got a break. More to come with Gene, Randall, and Alan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A Houston police officer shot and killed in the line of duty overnight. Police Chief Art Acevedo says Sergeant Chris Brewster was shot responding to a call from a woman claiming her boyfriend was assaulting her. The chief says as he lay mortally wounded, Brewster used his radio to detail the suspect's description.
Thanks to his efforts and all of the units that responded, we were able to capture the suspect at a school. He was armed with a semi-automatic pistol. We're looking for a second pistol.
The suspect ran off but was eventually arrested. Sergeant Brewster died at the hospital. North Korea is saying Sunday it's carried out a very important test at its long-range rocket launch site. The announcement coming amid dimming prospects for a resumption of nuclear talks, with the North warning it could seek a new way ahead if it fails to get major U.S. concessions by year's end. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're not going to get into the smoke and inhale thing, but the fixer, the hypo, as they called it, that had a distinctive odor.
But getting back to, we've got to conclude on this story because we've got a couple of questions in our question bank we've got to get to. I mean, we can't just leave it where you actually, okay, so you knocked some things over, you chase this guy down, you get in front of him, you've got a camera.
And he freezes at that point where I'm standing in front of him with the camera. So I took a picture of him, and the picture has appeared in various places. In fact, if you go to Men in Black images on Google, you probably find that picture.
That's really interesting because, I mean, that means there was a bunch more witnesses just besides you who saw the guy, too.
You think I would tell that story if there weren't a lot of witnesses?
That's actually pretty amazing. That's a really good one.
Everybody that was a name in ufology during that period attended that convention because it was right after the Mothman scare, whatever. And, it was still going on, I guess, to some extent. And it's still going on today. But, I mean, this was, you know, during the immediate aftermath. There's one other aspect, and then I'll shut up and listen to questions. But it was a Sunday in Charleston, West Virginia, in 1968. So consider, we were downtown, and as my father used to say about downtown Augusta, Georgia, you could have fired a cannonball and not hit anybody. No cars, no people, just me and the man in black and our group in the restaurant, and maybe one or two other people that were in the restaurant, the employees. Then, after I took the photo, like he was posing for, he went around the corner. This was on a corner. And I went around to see if I could take another picture, maybe chase him down, whatever. He was gone. It's a long block with clear view, and he was out of my field of vision for at most 5 seconds, probably not that long. It isn't as if I was looking at my watch. And he was gone.
That's very interesting.
I looked at for doors that he could have gone in and things. It was the street where I took his picture was a commercial street with lots of businesses. The street that he disappeared on looked like warehouses, and there were no doors that he could have possibly reached as far as I could see. So I don't know what to make of it. I heard later, while he was a kid, that Gray Barker hired as a hoax. But I also heard later that Mary Heyer, who was a reporter for the Athens, Ohio Messenger at the time, and a key reporter on the Men in Black cases and the Mothman case and the UFO cases that were going on in that period, reported an identical person in her office doing mysterious stuff. I don't even remember what, but, you know, that struck her attention. So I don't know what to make of it. I mean, Gray was capable of almost anything. In fact, if you took all the Gray and Jim stuff out of John Keel's book, it would probably be a much shorter book.
About 13 pages, I understand.
Seven is more likely, but yeah, maybe 13 if you pad it. And he was good at that. But Gray's book is infinitely closer to the truth, I think, than Keel's.
The Silver Bridge. Randall, we have a question or two from the forum. Right.
Yeah, like hopefully we can get you to come back on after the Paracast and pick up on some more of this, because as usual, when we get you on the show, we're just passing the time so quickly here, and there's so much we could get into. But we do have a question here from one of our forum participants. Farla Gulstein asks, would T. Allen Greenfield explain whether or not he thinks the Damascus Road experience of Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:3-6 was a UFO-like experience resulting from the collective unconscious, or did the Jesus Christ of Gnostic tradition actually appear to Saul? Your evaluation, please.
I am not and never have been a Christian. B, yes, and C, yes.
Okay, then let's go on to question number two. Do UFO phenomena have an independent existence once they appear, say, like a tulpa, or do UFOs appear and disappear entirely by the will of the collective unconscious, in your opinion?
Somewhere in between, but I don't feel advanced enough at this point to say definitively. I do know that certain types of phenomena, notably the not related to the West Virginia cases, South Jersey case, the Cape May case of the Man in Black called Tiny, and many other cases, but this one is real well documented by John Keel. Clearly, the thing that was interviewing these people was reaching a point where it was about to discorporate and hastily made a retreat. And like my experience, when the people went to the door to see what car he got into, he was vanished. I think that there are beings that seem to be real. I don't think they're from the collective unconscious. I think they're from otherwhere. And they do vanish. They certainly can interact with material things for a while, but black-eyed kids, Hatman, Men in Black, any of those, I think, can be physically manifesting temporarily. But if you could put them in a box and observe them, they would eventually, depending on their time cycle, they would vanish. Now, whether they vanish to some other realm of being or whether they're simply projections of something.
Well, that's a really good point. We'll come back to that, because we touched on that in the last show a little bit as well, with Red Pill Junkie Miguel Romero from Mexico. Yeah, you should check out some of his stuff. He's a good writer. I think you two have some similar ideas. But question three here from Farlig is, from your Gnostic theological framework, what convinces you if you are convinced of this at all, that UFOs are not direct manifestations of the demiurge who intends to mislead human beings instead of signals from the collective unconscious.
I'm not convinced that that is the case, but I'm not convinced that the demiurgos is a reality. Just because classical Gnosticism said that it was doesn't necessarily. I'm non-dogmatic about. I mean, Gnosticism is an egregoric thing for me, not a religious thing. So it's not fundamentalist. I have been all my life an adherent of Reform Judaism, which doesn't state much of anything as definitively true, just provisionally true.
Interesting. And fourthly, this would be the last question on the list here, and it is a four-liner, so it's I'll go through it just as it's on our forum here. Would you be able to explain what the collective unconscious consists of? And there are some subparts here. So is it a kind of field that humans generate? If it is a field, did it exist prior to the existence of humanity? Does a collective unconscious field exist whether or not humans exist? Do dead humans influence the collective unconscious? Or what is your view on this, the whole idea of what the collective unconscious is and where it comes from?
It's a question that I suspect we don't have enough time to go into, but I will give my view. I don't think that the mind and the brain are identical. I think that we are entangled with the rest of reality.
We are entangled with these announcements. Alan, Gene, and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As opposed to quantum entanglements, Alan Greenfield.
Not opposed. Same thing. But the point is, there are quantum processes in the brain as everywhere else, and my feeling is that the brain is more like a radio receiver, can be tuned in various ways, then it is the source. And investigating the brain is the equivalent of looking at the radio rather than the announcer who is at the radio station. So it sort of misses the boat. That is my feeling, but to defend that in any kind of detail, that's a long, long argument. But suffice to say, I think the collective unconscious, the Akashic record, so-called, etc., are an indication of the external source of our consciousness. Some things and some circumstances cause a closer connection to that external reality than the reason that we identify with the brain as the source of consciousness is because our senses are tuned to the brain. Brain is a sensory input place thing.
It's a sensory processor, for sure, yeah. And it's got input and output. It's not just a receiver. It's also a transmitter.
Well, yeah, but what it's receiving and transmitting, it depends on those five senses most of the time. Maybe things like psi, telepathy, and precognition, even retrocognition, are perhaps an additional sense or more, but they're obviously not something that is readily accessible to all of us all the time, and to some of us, never. So, it's a complex question that doesn't have an easy or quick answer. But suffice to say, the archetypal consciousness is an indication to me that we're not just what's bound up in our heads. We are connected to vastly greater things than that. Thus my answer to the question about the Road to Damascus experience.
Gene, we missed one up here by W.W. Kirk. We better make sure we get that in. He's one of our regular forum participants who asks, please ask Alan where he believes P.B. Randolph obtained his knowledge of sex magic. Also, does he believe Randolph's contribution to esotericism will ever be widely acknowledged?
I'll answer the second part first. I believe that Randolph's relative obscurity in occult circles is due to racism, period. He was a black man in the 19th century talking about sexual magic. And up until very recently, thanks in part to Jocelyn Godwin et al. And perhaps me, he has received some recognition. But the fact is that the legacy of racial bias has kept him from being recognized as one of the foremost people expounding the forbidden world in the 19th century, especially of sexual magic. Where he learned it, I suspect he learned it from the Ansari people of Lebanon and Syria, if any of them are left that aren't enthralled by the government there. Apolitical announcement. But that's where he says he learned it, and I have no reason to suspect that that is other than the truth. He may have learned some of it in Egypt, which was at that time under British influence, but I don't know that for a fact. He traveled extensively in Europe, influencing a lot of European occultists after having traveled in the Middle East, which is a classical process whereby these things happen. But he was an American, and when he came back to America, the last 20 or so years of his life was spent talking about what very few others dared talk about at that period. And those who took credit for that in later generations mostly ignored him, notably Aleister Crowley, who may or may not have known about him directly, but if he did, his racialist attitudes would have certainly kept him from crediting Randolph, considering some of the things he's been quoted as saying about Krishnamurti, who I wouldn't even repeat those things on the air.
Well, I'm sure that W.W. Kirk will appreciate that answer, because I am not familiar at all with any of this. Hopefully when we have you back again in the future, maybe we can get into more of this esotericism.
That's why I love to do your show. It is called the Paracast, and that's paranormal, and there's nothing more paranormal than the occult.
But then again, of course, just before we go, and you know, I have to turn this all around to some degree and say, well, okay, there's a lot of mysticism, there's a lot of these parallels to mythology. That's all super interesting from a cultural perspective. But at the same time, maybe they were right in the first place. Maybe what we're dealing with actually are craft from another star system. And they're just making us see all this stuff in order to study our behavior or something. Like when you were talking about this kid, the disappearing MIB. Well, we have UFOs that seem to be able to disappear. Well, now we have something like active camouflage where we can blend into the background so that we're not seen. This can all be explained technologically. We don't have to invoke spirituality or the supernatural. So maybe that's what it is too. I mean, how do we know for sure?
Well,
one way or the other.
Have I claimed that I know for sure, or have I just said that I, at this point, and everything with me is provisional? I have
no beliefs
whatsoever. I have only provisional allegiance or thought about where the evidence has taken me. But as Jean Duplantier said many, many years ago, when the ETH was the only theory around, it's like a long walk down an endless tube. And my suggestion is, if it's an endless tube, maybe you should go at right angles to reality and look in other directions. You might find it more rewarding. If you shut that out, you certainly will be stuck with a theory that is very, very hard to prove. I mean, if there are other dimensions, other universes, other realities, it is possible that the formidable distances involved in interstellar travel could be somehow bypassed so that you could indeed travel intergalactically in a matter of no time at all. But that's sort of gilding the lily on that. With all due respect, I think that you feel safer and more comfortable with the nuts and bolts theory. I don't think it's original, and I don't think that it's based on merit. I think it's based on a different belief system. That belief system has a lot to do with where you're coming from.
We got to wrap it here. Alan, we could go on for 3 more hours.
We certainly could.
And then do the second part of the interview. Alan Greenfield, please tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Yes, I have 2 publishers, Blue Star Press, which has my most recent book, God Never Does the Same Thing Twice, which is not particularly about God or how many times you do things. It's a book about messiahs and madmen. And The Complete Secret Cipher of the Euphonauts from Paranoia Press. And these books are available from the usual outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in the case of Paranoia Press, online.
Thank you, Alan. You can find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, we have a pair of places to visit on Facebook, a community and a group, and I will not separate that. And we also have the Paracast Plus, mentioned briefly before. Go to theparacast.plus to learn more. It's a premium subscription service. We offer a version of this show free of the network ads. That's the first thing. Enhanced audio is the second thing. And after the Paracast, you never know what to expect next. We have interviews, commentaries. William Puckett, our special correspondent, gives us a UFO sighting update. So that's fascinating stuff every week. The show is After the Paracast. You can only get it. You can only get it if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Again, visit theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week. How can you beat that? Alan Greenfield, my old friend, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure. Very interesting discussion.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but 4 free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get 4 free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your 4 free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.